We are continuing a study through the Gospel of Luke, and it's been such a blessing. And it just reveals Christ and the heart of God towards people and, of course, towards us as well, as we see how he worked in the first century and how he works in every century and reaching hearts today. So why don't we go ahead and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. We're only going to be reading verses 12 through 16, and then we'll pray and we'll get into the message. This is an account of when Jesus cleansed a leper. And in verse 12, Luke tells us, it happened when he, that was Jesus, was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus, he put out his hand and he touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And then Jesus, he charged him to tell no one. He said to him, go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning Jesus all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So Jesus himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Let's take a moment to pause and pray ourselves before we get into the message. Father, we thank you for your word and for this time that we could spend just considering what happened there in the account that we read in detail and what lessons we can take for us today. God, I pray that you would minister to every heart. And you know what people are dealing with. And Jesus, just as you cleansed, just as you saved and restored lives, forgave sin, and brought new purpose and meaning into people's lives, when you are here on the earth, you are doing the same. We thank you, Jesus, that you work through your word and by your spirit. And so, God, I pray that you would do a great work in our hearts today through your word and by your spirit as we couple your word with faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I titled today's message, Delivered But Disobedient. Delivered But Disobedient, because that was the case of the man in our text. As we'll see clearer as we go through it in detail. This morning we're going to entertain some questions and answer them. We're going to consider what the leper looked like. You ever wonder what a leopard looked like? Well, you're going to see, and it's not pretty. We're going to also consider what did the leper experience and what the leper knew and how Jesus would respond to this leper. We're going to learn some lessons from the account of a person who was delivered but disobedient. Now, Going back to the text, Luke tells us that it happened when Jesus was in a certain city. He doesn't give us the details about the city, but he tells us that, behold, look, Luke wants us to really consider this short little historical event that took place in the ministry of Jesus. And he tells us that there was a man. We don't know his name, but he had a major problem. And it tells us that he was full of leprosy. So he was in an advanced stage of leprosy. And he probably had, from head to toe, just tons of different disfigurements. Now, here's a picture of an individual with leprosy. This is kind of what, it's really such a sight. And I think it's good to see, because this helps you to understand more what the man probably looked like in his advanced stage. And then you could see the other picture of his hands, and they're just little nubs. You can go ahead and remove the picture now. I think they've had enough. But this was a horrible thing that an individual dealt with. And they would lose feeling in their nerves. And so there would be times when they would lose little limbs, or even it's been understood that rats at night would come because their skin was dying, and rats would come and eat, and they wouldn't even feel it. And this was a horrible thing that this man dealt with, and we really don't know how long. It was probably years and years. But this man, who was full of leprosy, he saw Jesus. And Matthew tells us, because this is found in the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Matthew tells us that when the man saw him, he worshiped Jesus. And most likely what that looked like was what Mark tells us, how he knelt down before him. He showed extreme respect for Jesus and humbled himself before the Lord. And then Luke tells us he fell on his face. Probably in such humility. This was no doubt a sight to see. And the crowds, because there was multitudes of people, this was something that was shocking. And I would imagine that everybody there had an opinion and had a feeling, and just the norm was stay away. They were terrified because nobody wanted to get leprosy. And so there was probably all these kinds of feelings and emotions going on within the crowd, and there's no doubt this man here, he was at the end of himself and just so humble and wanting help. And so he begs Jesus. That's what the word implored means. Have you ever been at a place like that? God, help me. God, change me. God, I need help. I don't want to live like this anymore. Change me. And this man, he came to the end of himself. And that's really when God can do great work with people. When people come to the end of themselves and say, God, I surrender. Change me. And so he was begging him. He was bringing his request. And he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He didn't doubt Jesus' power or ability. But he was so just used to people not willing to talk to him, have any dealings with him. And he wasn't sure how the Lord would respond to him. He didn't know if the Lord would help him. And so he says, if you're willing, I know you can do it. Now, I want to consider, we already saw what the leper looked like. I just want us to have a greater familiarity of what the leper experienced. What was his life like? Well, I would tell you, and I would imagine myself, that his life was filled with a lot of pain. There was relational pain that the leper experienced. What do I mean by that? Well, according to the law, if you look at Leviticus 13, you don't have to turn there, but you might want to jot that down. It'll be on the screens. According to the law, it tells us, now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, which this was a sign of mourning, because it was almost like a death. Those who had leprosy, they were considered the walking dead. So it was just a matter of time. There was no cure, no natural cure. And not only was it a sign of mourning, it was also a sign of uncleanness. And then it tells us here, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. It was the leper's now responsibility if he came any, you know, close, any kind of proximity to other people, it was his responsibility to warn others, stay away. Imagine living a life like that, in mourning, knowing you are unclean, no longer can be a part of your family, social life, worship. It was required that the adult males would go to the temple 3 times a year for different feasts. Of course, they had synagogues in their towns, but he would no longer be a part of any kind of social life. And he was given the responsibility of warning other people, stay away from me, I'm unclean. Verse 46 tells us, he shall be unclean all the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean. And he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp. Basically, experiencing total social isolation. So, all of the relationships you can imagine. If he was married, if he had children, he could no longer hug his wife or kiss his kids goodnight. Friends, they would cut him off as well. So that's a lot of relational pain. Then there's the emotional pain. Can you imagine the brokenheartedness from the initial news? Maybe he saw a little scab on his skin, didn't think much of it. But then it just wasn't going away. And then at some point he had to think, well, I don't know. This doesn't seem right. This is not going away. And I wonder at what point, how soon from when he first noticed till he started to think, maybe this is leprosy. Could you imagine? You know, all of the emotional pain from learning that he was a leper, feeling the rejection, the shame, perhaps extreme depression and loneliness. Then there's the physical pain, being full of sores. Initially it had to hurt until those nerve endings started to lose feeling. But I'm sure that was very, very uncomfortable. And then there's the mental pain. You know, the psalmist at times talks about the internal pain that humans go through. The psalmist in Psalm 55, verses 4 and 5, very different circumstances, but I wonder if he expresses what this man was going through in the mind, you know, just the anguish, the mental anguish, and in the heart. But the psalmist says, my heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And then there is the spiritual pain. It is very likely that he wondered if God was punishing him. Or why? Why me? Have you ever been in a situation where you thought, God, are you punishing me? Or why me? Well, this man no doubt was thinking all of those feelings that would go along with this kind of experience. And what he had in his recollection, though leprosy was not always related to sin in the Old Testament, now we know that leprosy is a type of sin. But in the Old Testament, there were different times where individuals had leprosy. And like I said, not all of those times were related to sin, but majority of them were. So you have, for example, Miriam. Miriam, she spoke against Moses. And because of her rebellion and her pride, she got leprosy as a punishment. And then there was Gehazi, if you remember. He was Elisha's servant. And Naaman was the one who got leprosy, and he was cured. We don't know why he got leprosy. It doesn't say it was related to sin. But Gehazi ended up getting leprosy because Gehazi was greedy and deceptive as his servant. And he looked to profit from Naaman. And you can read all the details in the Old Testament. Then there's King Uzziah. He entered into the temple to burn incense, and it wasn't his responsibility. That was the responsibility of the priest, so he did it. And it was an unlawful act, and so he got hit with leprosy because of his pride and disobedience. So maybe he's thinking, is it because of something I've done? And so that was his experience. It gives us a little bit of an understanding of what this leper experienced. Now, in spite of his years of experiencing all of these things, I wonder, what did the leper know? Because there are certain things, it seems, that he knew, and that moved him towards Jesus. And one of the things that the leper knew is that none of his painful experiences were reasons to not turn to Christ. You know, sometimes we go through things and we think, well, I can't go to God because of what I've experienced or what I've done or what I've thought. I can't turn to God, but that's furthest from the truth. Who else will you turn to? It's such a wonderful thing to know, that no matter what situation we are dealing with, no matter how severe it is, we can always turn to the Lord. We can always turn to the Lord for help. Now we don't know how, but somehow the leper knew Jesus was not just an ordinary man. He addressed him as Lord. And I don't know how. I wonder if the man from a distance heard Jesus preaching. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus was preaching to the multitude. He was out on the water and preaching. And perhaps because a human voice can carry between 300 to 500 feet across water, perhaps the man from a distance heard Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God, and he was drawn to the Lord. Maybe someone else who had gotten healed, because the Lord had healed so many different people, maybe someone else told him. It's harder for me to think that, because if I got healed from something, I would not want to go to a leper, because I'd be like, I got healed. I don't want to catch nothing again. But we don't know, but somehow he knew that Jesus was not an ordinary man, and that Jesus could help him. He knew that Jesus had the divine power to cleanse him. And another thing was that he knew how to humble himself before the Lord, believing that if the Lord was willing, the Lord could make him clean. And it's a fascinating thing, because not in all cases, but oftentimes it's those who suffer, those who are broken, those who are hurting, are humbler and recognize their need for Jesus. So suffering and hurting is not always a bad thing, especially if it brings you to Christ. And sometimes you wonder, well, why is that? Well, because pain has a way of softening the heart. Brokenness, it breaks pride. Suffering teaches us that we're not in control and we need help. And maybe you've been suffering. And that suffering is a good thing, because if you allow it, it'll bring you to the end of yourself. You're already here, you're already listening, and you know that you need help. And Jesus is the only one that can help you. And the only way that takes place is by surrendering yourself or your circumstance, whatever it is, to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the writer of Ecclesiastes, which is Solomon, he said, sorrow is better than laughter. Why is that? He says, for by a sad countenance, the heart is made better. And the leper's sorrow made his heart better, because he allowed the suffering to guide him to a place of humility. So much so that he humbled himself in front of all those people. He somehow broke through the crowd, and he threw himself, so to speak, at the Lord's feet. Then in verse 13, Mark tells us that Jesus was moved with compassion. Luke tells us, then he, that is Jesus, put his hand and touched him. But it's wonderful to see that before Jesus moved, Jesus' heart was moved with compassion towards the man. And then he put out his hand and he touched him. No doubt that's probably the first time this man got touched in years. Nobody hugged him in years. He had no physical contact. You came into this church today. Let me ask you, you don't have to answer out loud, but how many hugs did you get? Sometimes too many, huh? No, I love it. And if you didn't get a hug, you probably won't leave without getting a hug. And if you're not a hugger, that's all right. Just say, no thanks. That's okay. But I guarantee if you keep coming within 2 or 3 weeks, you'll be like, yay! Well, that man had no physical contact in years. And his face was down. He threw himself. He was at the feet of Jesus, probably embarrassed, and most likely even covered, wrapped, but just embarrassed by how he looked and how he smelled. He probably reeked so bad. Have you ever walked by a homeless person? I know it's one time she wasn't homeless, but I felt so bad. One time I was in the post office in Clarkson behind somebody and I almost passed out. But man, it's a human smell. I mean, all of you know. I mean, there's been times you've been sick, right? For like 3 or 4 days in bed, and then you finally start to, you know, feel better, and then you get a whiff and you're like, oh my goodness. It's just horrible. And so he was probably so embarrassed. And then to get that touch, not push, not, hey, get away from me. But he got a touch from the Lord. And he probably felt just such a peace. Maybe at first he wasn't quite sure what the experience was going to be. And he was so desperate, he didn't care. But when he felt that touch, I'm sure at that moment, he just felt a sense of, and remember he asked him, he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand, touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And then the text tells us immediately the leprosy left him. As soon as Jesus had spoken to the man, be cleansed, the leprosy left him. And that's what Mark tells us. Jesus had spoken immediately. As soon as he had spoken, the leprosy left him. And so we see how Jesus responded to the man. First, we see how Jesus was moved with compassion. And that's because God really cares about us. No matter what our situation is, God cares about you. He really does care about you. And before Jesus did anything, Jesus felt within his heart at an emotional level, he felt real, genuine love, pity, mercy, and compassion for the man. You know, Jesus, he didn't see a disease. He saw a person who was hurting, longing to be restored. He didn't just see a situation. Oh, you're a dime a dozen. I've seen so many people like you. Next. But he saw his suffering, and he felt compassion for him. You know, the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That man somehow understood that Jesus had sympathy, and he came boldly, and he was helped. And Jesus touched the untouchable. According to the law, touching the leper would make you unclean, but Jesus touched the man and did it before the man was cleansed. And the reality is that Jesus has no problem touching, if you would, our mess when we humble ourselves before him. Jesus has no problem intervening and getting in the situations that we're in. You know, some folks, we are taught, you got to clean up your mess before you come to God. And God says, no, you come. You come as you are. You're a mess. You come as you are. And when people's hearts are touched by that divine touch that comes from our Lord, that's where real life transformation generally takes place. And Jesus, he touched the man's heart before he touched him physically. That man, I don't know, my opinion is that he heard Jesus speaking and his heart was moved. And that's usually what happens. God starts working in our heart first. And then as we respond to the Lord, cleansing comes. And it was so beautiful when he asked that question, or he made that statement, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. It was so beautiful how Jesus, he says, I am willing. And Jesus is not just able to meet our need. He's willing. And it was his word that had the power. He said, be cleansed. And that word had the power to do something that no one ever could. And Jesus, he healed the man. And the healing was immediate. It was not partial. It wasn't over a period of time, over the next 3 or 4 or 5 weeks or months or years. It was a complete, immediate recovery. So the man probably looked like this. I mean, when Jesus healed the man, you can remove that. But my point is that his new nose grew back. His face structure came back. Everything immediately was restored. And that's how the miracles Jesus did were. When Jesus healed someone, the results were visible and immediate. There was no question. Now, Jesus, he called for a response. And that's so often how the Lord works, doesn't he? So often. Remember he told the woman who was caught in the act of adultery? Remember what he told her? He said, go and sin no more. Or when he healed somebody and they were paralyzed, he would say, okay, now pick up your bed and walk. Now, for this guy, he tells him basically three things. He says, hey, I want you to exercise some self-control. You know what gets a lot of people in trouble is a lack of self-control. But he says to the man, I want you to exercise some self-control. Another thing he tells him to do is I want you to give testimony, but not to anyone else, just to the priests. Start there. Go to the temple and I want you to be a testimony, give testimony to the priest. And then he tells him, I want you to obey God's word. He put it in different terms. This is how he said it in verse 14. It said, he charged him. Tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them. This is a part of the testimony, making the offering. And then notice, just as Moses commanded. See, because there was a whole process of getting back. He was restored physically, but he needed to get restored back into community and worship life. And there was a whole process in the law, although it never happened. To my knowledge, no one ever was healed other than through God's divine providence, like Naaman. But Naaman was a Gentile. And then Miriam, the law came after. And so there wasn't, even though there was a process in how to get restored and confirm that healing took place, to my knowledge, and I could be wrong, but to my knowledge, there was no one who ever was healed that even needed that. And if that's the case, that would be able to go through that process, because there was many lepers in the history of Israel. But if that is the case, that's amazing, because God knew that one day his son would be on the earth and his son, Jesus, would do what nobody else could do and heal. And he healed different individuals from leprosy, but heal this man with leprosy. And that man would go back and say, hey, I've been healed from leprosy. And it was Jesus who did the healing. How many of you have been healed? Maybe not from leprosy, but you've been healed. Your heart's been healed. You've been healed. And your testimony is Jesus did this. And this man, he was asked, actually charged, go and give testimony to them, the priest, just as Moses commanded. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, you acted in faith, you came here, and now I want you to act in obedience. Do what the word of God says. Now Jesus, for practical reasons, told him to not tell anyone, because if the man went out telling everyone, it would just draw more attention, more people, more crowds, and make it so much harder for Jesus to enter the city openly. And so Jesus was being very practical. You ever wonder why he would tell him not to tell anyone? Well, that's the reason why. Look at what it says in Luke 4, verses 43 and 44. It says, but Jesus said to them, he was talking to those who wanted to keep Jesus in the city, didn't want him to leave. He says, I must preach the kingdom of the gospel to the other cities also. But then he tells us this. He says, for this reason I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. And that was his MO. Generally, he would go into a city and go into the synagogue and preach. That was his reason. His main purpose was preaching the kingdom. And so with all the crowds coming, he wouldn't be able to enter into the city openly. And so practically, he told them, don't tell anybody. But Luke 5:15 tells us, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He couldn't enter into the cities anymore openly. And we see a little focus shift, a little, the people's focus started to shift, if you would. Remember what Jesus said in verse 43 of the previous chapter. He says, I must preach the kingdom. In Luke 5:1, it says, the multitude pressed about him, notice this, to hear the word. And then also in verse 5, Peter said to the Lord, nevertheless, at your word, I will. So Jesus says, my main purpose is to preach the kingdom. And the people were coming to hear the word. And people responding to the word. However, the report went around, and then it tells us in the text how great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed. So you see a little shift focus. And I'll tell you, when you have to add to the word, or if the focus gets off, it's the word and, that could be trouble. That could be trouble. And these folks, it seems like they were starting to see Jesus, and Jesus didn't want him to be seen as a miracle worker. That's not why he came. My purpose, he said, is to preach the kingdom. And he wanted the people's focus to be on the right thing, which is the word of God, not the miraculous, although there's nothing wrong when God does miracles, but that's not the reason why Jesus came, was to do the miraculous, but to preach the word. You know, and the wonders, they should always be viewed as validation to the word. Even John in his gospel, he writes in his gospel like seven different miracles Jesus did. But do you remember why he said he wrote those miracles? He said, I wrote these things down so that you may believe in the name of Jesus. Not that you would be awed by a miracle worker, but that you would trust Jesus. And that's really what the wonders are intended to do. They're intended to get us to trust him, not follow signs and wonders, but to follow Jesus and obey Jesus. The word in obedience to the word is indeed the desire that the Lord wants from those who follow him. Jesus didn't want the people to miss the message because they got caught up with the miracles, and that's what happened to this leper. Do you know who the greatest reporter was? Remember it said that the report went all about, that he couldn't even minister into the city? You know who the greatest reporter was? The individual who Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Mark tells us in verse 45 of chapter 1, however, he, that is the man himself, went out and began to proclaim it freely. After the Lord said, don't tell anybody, he goes out and does the exact opposite. He gets delivered, and now he's disobedient. And to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Now, the man was excited. I'd be excited too. Jesus had restored him. The restoration was immediate. He went from looking like some kind of scary creature to Brad Pitt. It was miraculous. And he got physically healed, and I'm sure emotionally, mentally, I mean, a lot of those weights just dropped. There was such great things happening inside of him in regards to healing. Luke tells us Jesus charged the man, don't tell anyone now. He would have time to tell others. Mark tells us that Jesus strictly warned him, sending him away, saying, don't tell anyone. But the man, out of excitement, told everyone, but he disobeyed the Lord. Jesus told him to tell the priest as a testimony. Do that first, not the people. Make an offering for the cleansing. And do this in obedience to the law of Moses. And so, what can we learn from this? Well, one of the things is the Lord's compassion, mercy, restoration, and healing is to lead us to obedience. That's what God desires. God desires obedience. I mean, the Lord asked him wasn't hard, was it? Control yourself. Don't tell anybody now. Just go to the temple. It might have taken him some time to get there, but he strongly charged him, don't tell anyone. Go to the temple. Make an offering as a testimony to the priests, and do this in obedience to the word of God, to the commandments of Moses. He didn't tell him to do anything that was impossible. But he wasn't obedient. Obedience matters more to God, and you'll find this everywhere in the scriptures. Obedience matters more to God than our excitement about what God has done for us. Especially if our excitement leads us to disobedience. There's nothing wrong about being excited, but if it leads us to being disobedient because we can't control ourselves, that's not good. Just because we might be passionate, this is another thing we could take from this, just because we're passionate doesn't mean we're doing what God asks us to do. Have you ever seen or heard or maybe watched believers being very passionate and disobeying God's word right in front of you? I've seen people on Christian, like on YouTube, and they're so passionate and so excited, preachers, and they're just lying to the people. They're disobeying God and their teachings. And you see people passionate and excited and showing all this emotion, and yet they're doing things that are contrary to God's word. One of the things that we can learn another is never let emotions override obedience. And as much as this man started out well, the reality is he didn't end well. He disobeyed the Lord by telling everybody. And do we know if he even made it to the priests? We don't know. We don't know if he even made it to the priests. And this teaches us that miracles don't make people godly. Godly people are made by obeying God's word. You know, we look at this incredible thing that the Lord did, but we see that as far as God is concerned, miracles are not the end goal. Obedience is the end goal. Obedience doesn't always feel exciting, but obedience is what pleases the Lord. Wonders, they seem exciting, don't they? To some people. And they might excite the heart, but the word obeyed is really what transforms lives. So let's bring this to a close. We may not be carrying leprosy on our skin, but perhaps some of you are carrying pain in your heart. Maybe there's been an issue that you've been battling with. And it's really been troubling your mind. And the Lord's brought you here today because he wants to minister to you and your brokenness. And some of you may feel isolated. Some of you may have been casted aside by others. Maybe you feel distant from the Lord because of something you've done, or maybe because of something someone's done to you. And you've gotten hurt and you're so angry and even bitter, and you feel like it's affecting your relationship with the Lord. You feel distant from the Lord. The beautiful thing is that no matter what our situation is, just like the man in our text, we can always come to Jesus. Now, it would have been such a much more beautiful testimony of the man if he would have did what the Lord asked him to do. But no matter what, we can always come to Jesus. And certainly I would encourage, just as Jesus told the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, go and sin no more. Don't continue practicing that if it's a sin issue. Or don't stay down, pick up your bed and walk. Get up and move forward, progress. Don't let this keep you down. I would encourage following God's direction, but you can always come to the Lord with whatever you have, because there's no suffering he cannot sympathize with. There's no brokenness that he cannot restore. There's no situation that he cannot turn around and give you the grace, give you the help, the mercy, the strength that you need to move forward. And like the man in the story, we can say, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And it's so wonderful and encouraging and comforting to know we have a God that says, I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. And Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace and for your word that encourages the heart. It elevates our thinking. It reminds us that you are a God that is not afar off. You're not distant. You're right here. And anyone who comes to you, you help. And Lord, ultimately, your desire is not just to restore us, but also to enable us to walk in obedience and to walk in harmony with your will, because you know ultimately that it's your word coupled with faith and obedience is what restores the soul past salvation. It continues to heal us and help us to be on guard and to not allow ourselves to go back to things that could potentially make things worse. Your word tells us that it's perfect in restoring the soul. And so, God, we thank you for that work that you desire to do in all of our hearts and how you desire to cause us to grow in holiness, obedience, transforming us into your very image. Lord, I pray for anyone here who has been hurting and been going through it. I pray that they would trust you and surrender all that they are before you and follow you wholeheartedly.